You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's the Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome, everyone, to this Monday edition of the Daily Dime. Today is September 9th, and I hope y'all had a good weekend. We had a ton of action this weekend, and I'm not sure 10 minutes is going to cover it, so let's jump right into it. We will start off with college football, where we had one of the most anticipated matchups coming into the season with Texas visiting Michigan up in Ann Arbor, and this one was a rout from the beginning. Texas drove all the way down on their first drive. They had a touchdown called back due to a questionable holding call. Then they missed a field goal. But from there, they scored on every single drive the rest of the half, and they took a 24-3 lead into the break. The game kind of settled down a little bit in the second half, and Texas extended the lead to 31-6 before Michigan scored a garbage time touchdown to get us to the final of 31-12. And honestly, this was super predictable to me. This Michigan team lost a ton of players. A lot of them were seniors or super seniors. They lost their coach. And then frankly, they also lost Connor Stallions at the end of last year. You know, he was the mastermind behind this entire cheating scandal over the past three seasons. So between all of the guys that they lost and the drama surrounding this team and their schedule, I thought there was a really good chance coming into this season that this team could lose four or five games. And this is just the first of them. I don't expect too much from this team moving forward, and I'll be really surprised if they end up in the playoff. Their offense was abysmal to watch. The defense was just torched by Quinn Ewers and the Texas offense. And the vibes around this team are just as low as they've been since 2020. And on the other side, Texas looks really legit. They moved up to number two in the AP poll this week, and they're going to be a force the rest of the season. Now, they still have to play Oklahoma and Georgia, but they get Georgia at home, and then the back half of their schedule is looking easier by the week. So they have a legit chance to go undefeated if they can get through those two tough games. And if they do that, they'll probably be the top seed in the playoff. But looking at some of the other teams, Georgia took care of business, beating Tennessee Tech 48-3 as Carson Beck threw for five more touchdowns, helping out his early Heisman campaign. Ohio State dominated Western Michigan 56-0, and they still haven't really played anybody notable yet, but they look loaded on both sides of the ball. Alabama looked really shaky against USF. They ended up winning 42-16, but this was a game late into the fourth quarter before USF just fell apart. And if I'm Bama, I definitely have a few concerns, especially seeing how good some of the other teams at the top of the SEC look. But then we had fifth-ranked Notre Dame hosting Northern Illinois, and I was super high on Notre Dame after their road win at Texas A&M last week, but they came out and proved me completely wrong. They look terrible at home, and they lose 16-14. Luckily for them, they still have the expanded playoffs, so if they run the table, they'll probably sneak in. But this was just a bad, bad look from Marcus Freeman and the Irish this week. But then moving on, sixth-ranked Ole Miss looked great again. They won 52-3 against Middle Tennessee. But then the next teams, Oregon and Penn State, both really struggled in their games. Oregon was down 20-14 at the half against Boise State, and they needed a last-second field goal to win. And then Penn State was losing to Bowling Green before eventually pulling that one out 34-27. And Penn State was another team that I thought looked really good in week one and that I was pretty high on. But then Oregon now has struggled in both of their games. So I'm starting to wonder if they're a little bit overrated to start the season here. Missouri, Miami, and USC were all dominant in their wins over Buffalo, Florida A&M, and Utah State respectively. And then Tennessee had a great win as well over NC State as they ran them out of their own building 51-10. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State both barely snuck out wins against Houston and Arkansas. And then we also had a few top 25 teams stumble with Kansas, Iowa, and Georgia Tech all losing by a combined 10 points. And one of the other hyped up matchups this weekend, Nebraska beat Colorado 28-10, and they jumped up to number 23 in the AP poll this week. But that'll just about cover it for all of the college football action we had this weekend. But we also had our first weekend of NFL action, and wow, there were some shocking games. The first one was the Bengals hosting the Patriots, and I have made it very well known how bad I thought the Patriots were going to be this year. But they came out and shocked me to start the week. The Bengals looked terrible to start the season for about the fifth straight year. But this time, I think a lot of it had to do with the Patriots. Brissett made a ton of plays, especially on third down. They ran the ball extremely well. They controlled the clock and the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And the Bengals just couldn't get anything going. They also shot themselves in the foot with two huge fumbles, but the Pats deserve some credit here as they begin the Gerard Mayo era 1-0 with a road win in Cincinnati. Then down in Atlanta, Justin Fields didn't play great in his first game as a Steeler, but he did just enough to get the win as Pittsburgh field-goaled them to death with six kicks from Boswell, totaling 273 yards. The Bills got a huge day from Josh Allen, where he threw for two touchdowns and ran for two more in their 34-28 win over the Cardinals. Arizona actually had a chance late where Marvin Harrison Jr. was wide open down the field for what would have been a sure touchdown, but Kyler didn't see him, and they lose their opener for the third year in a row. The Bears got the win in Caleb Williams' debut after scoring 21 points in the second half, all of them coming from defense or special teams. They had a blocked punt for a touchdown, a pick six with a two-point conversion, and two field goals as well. Williams only had 94 yards passing on 29 attempts, so not too great there, but he didn't turn the ball over, and that's all they needed to get the win in this one. The Dolphins beat the Jags on a last-second field goal on a crazy day where Tyreek Hill was detained on his way into the stadium. He did end up playing, though, and he finished with seven catches for 130 yards and a touchdown. And then the Saints killed the Panthers 47-10 in one of the more lopsided matchups you'll see in the NFL. I thought Carolina might progress slightly this year in Bryce Young's second season, but he threw two interceptions today, and the Saints just put on a clinic. Derek Carr was great. He had three touchdowns, and then they also ran for 180 yards and two more scores. And I know it's early, but the Panthers may already be on the clock with the top pick in the 2025 draft. They were just pathetic yesterday. Speaking of pathetic, the Giants also looked terrible as they lost 28-6 at home to the Sam Darnold-led Vikings. Daniel Jones also threw for two interceptions, and I still cannot believe the Giants decided to pay him anything beyond his rookie deal. He just does not look like the answer in New York. Then the Chargers beat the Raiders 22-10 in Jim Harbaugh's debut, and it was great to see J.K. Dobbins back after he's been hobbled with injuries for essentially his entire career. He ran for 135 yards and a touchdown, and then Ladd McConkey also scored in his NFL debut. In another NFL debut, Bo Nix and the Broncos lost to the Seahawks 26-20. He also threw two interceptions, starting to sense a theme here, but he did run for a touchdown late in the fourth quarter, so at least some positive there. Kenneth Walker had over 100 yards and also scored for the Seahawks as they get their first win in the post-Pete Carroll era. The Buccaneers dominated the Commanders as Baker threw for four touchdowns in their 37-20 win. Washington did have some positives, though, as Jaden Daniels looked pretty good in his first start. He only threw for 184 yards, but he also didn't turn it over just like Caleb Williams, and he ran for 88 yards and two touchdowns, so pretty good stuff from him. Over in Cleveland, the Browns got trounced by the Cowboys 33-17. Dak got a new contract earlier Sunday morning and then led Dallas to the win, throwing for 179 yards and a touchdown in the process. But the bigger concern has to be for the Browns. They have such a talented roster across the board, but Deshaun Watson is starting to look like a huge liability. His contract is massive, and he's just not playing up to the standard at all. He also threw two interceptions today, and they just really struggled to get anything going when it mattered. And speaking of his contract, after the restructuring, it is now fully guaranteed, and he has a $73 million cap hit in 2025 and 2026, just a nightmare scenario if he is not able to turn it around in Cleveland. Then in the Sunday night game, we had the Rams and the Lions, and this one was the definition of a game of runs. The Rams came out looking strong in the first, and they took a 3-0 lead, but it was all Lions for the next 30 minutes as they scored 17 straight to take a 17-3 lead. Then the Rams went on a 17-point run of their own to retake the lead 20-17 before Detroit tied it up with a field goal late to send it to overtime. Then the Lions won the toss, took the ball, and ran it right down LA's throat to the end zone to win the game 26-20. And then tonight we have the Jets and the 49ers in the Monday night game. And I think it'll be interesting to see how the Jets come out after a really disappointing 2023, after Rodgers went down just four plays into the season. The Niners are early 3.5-point favorites, and I honestly think they win, and I think they cover at home. I'll take San Francisco in this one, something like 27-19. But with that, we will just about wrap it up for this Monday episode of the Daily Dime. As always, thank you for listening. And if you would, please consider following the show and rating 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you may listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.